So we are starting a little bit late because you had to emergency hedge trim your lawn.
This morning, yeah. Emergency hedge
trimmed. I love the text. I'm going to be late. It's an emergency landscaping issue. I was like, oh, a tree down? But it makes
which
sense.
Which I've had.
Yeah.
I have had
you
that.
You have had
past.
That.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Did it fall on your house or was it just like?
It fell away from the house, which was great.
But then the roots come up.
Yeah, there was this hill. I had three trees. And the smallest one fell over towards my neighbor's house, blocked their driveway, ruined my fence, that sort of a thing. And it was a holiday.
Ugh.
And I'll shoot them the picture. Yeah. That way everybody can see what it looked like. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I just see upcharge holiday.
Oh man.
Fence now.
I got a guy though.
You got a guy.
I got a guy.
It's a callback to
guy.
It.
No, today I was the guy. So okay. We have a windy street that we live on and we've got these, you know, big walls and all that kind of stuff. And so we've got this little trick that when we drive up our driveway before we go down to the street, we look to the left, we count to 10 and we look over at the street that's coming at us. And if we count to 10 and nobody's coming, we know that we're clear because it'll clear out the part that we can't see, the blind corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll clear it out. So yesterday, Jessica was driving out, and she counted to 10. She may have counted fast, because I know that girl. You know what I mean?
No, she dips, too. She's
oh, yeah, yeah. She's heavy probably footed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. You know, we're not like the one Mississippi, you know.
Yeah.
So she goes, though, and she gets out, and there's a van, probably an Amazon delivery or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a subcontractor, not the official one. But just coming at her.
Amazon, you can still sponsor us, right? Like,
they can, of course. Why not? But we love Amazon.
Yeah,
they've actually been generous to us. Did you know that people they have donated to The Rock to do giveaways and different things like that? Yeah,
very cool.
And we've also worked with them for our job fairs, things like that. So
I remember that. That's
thank
right.
you, Amazon.
Shout out Amazon. Look at that.
Yeah, we love Amazon. Everything's made easy.
And they do local. I mean, they have warehouses. They probably. Have a lot of our church members
lots
that work
of our,
there.
Actually, a lot of our church members work at Amazon. Yeah. It's not uncommon for me. Where do you work? Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. But that and Uber and Lyft.
There we go.
Yeah. But so she comes out of the driveway and there's this van coming at her and she just puts both hands up, which I don't think is a good idea to do while you're driving, but she did both hands. And just said, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That girl, I think, has saved her life more times by just shouting the name of Jesus. So
who needs the force when you have... Jesus. If you're watching, I'm doing the name of Jesus.
She's just in the name of Jesus. And thankfully, she didn't get in an accident or, you know, go off the road or anything
like that. But then today you were hedging those
She said, I want to get rid of all those hedges that are right there. I need to see the street and this and that. So I was out there this morning. And that's what made me late was I was trimming the hedges.
Hey.
Emergency hedge trimming.
We will wait. That is an emergency thing.
Yeah,
because
I don't
want
anybody else leaving my driveway.
Nope.
Not being able to count to 10.
Right. But maybe this, you know, you've talked about, hey, if I could pay you to get saved, have them come over and have them have to do the in the name of Jesus.
Oh, man.
Get scared for their life.
Yeah, it won't be emergency hedge trimming. That's emergency life saving for eternity.
Oh, man. Anyways, so I got a couple. I'm holding this mic a little bit different. Hopefully the sound is good, guys. If you're watching, you'll see.
If you're listening,
but you started this, Pastor Dan. Because
I started
you watched the Forrest Frank podcast. And
shout
now,
out to Forrest. Yes.
Yeah.
Man, we're shouting everybody out today.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
who else can we
shout
out? You know,
collabs, guys.
Man.
But so now I just kind of I don't know if this is my MC thing
because we talked about this. You're a fidgeter.
Yeah.
You've got to touch.
Yes.
You've got to like mess with something.
Yeah.
And so if you had the stand here, you would be touching it and adjusting.
That's true.
It.
I do.
I think there's been times where I've actually like grabbed things that I've seen. You know, things you're moving around. You know, saved your shirt from the coffee that one day. You know, so.
Someone thought you were maybe a little bit OCD because they're like, hey, I could you spilled and Pastor Nathan had to wipe it. I was like, no, he was saving
the shirt.
From, yeah,
no, it was more. I would have left it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just watching your white shirt.
Good
I'm
looking
like,
out, Pastor.
I can't let coffee get on that shirt.
And then, you know, I was having a bad hair day, so I threw on this hat.
And now you just showed everyone your hair.
Oh, yeah. What was the point of that?
Well, there you go.
So and this is a kind of a plug, too. Shout out because we're getting ready for our RockCon merch.
Hey. Yeah, RockCon's coming up. We're excited.
So I had the sample in my office. So I was like, I'm going to throw it on.
That is the RockCon sample. It looks like
Pastor,
the Dodgers.
Can I wear a hat in the office? Is that okay? Or you made me take it off?
I'll have to check the dress code.
Yeah, I'll go. Oh, yeah. We have a dress code. I feel like hats are allowed as I look at someone with a hat.
As he looks at the guy behind the cameras with the hat on.
So anyways, Pastor. Oh, let's. Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast.
Welcome, everybody.
Hopefully you've stuck around. No, just kidding. We know you have, because God is good, and you want to know more about Jesus. And the Rock Life Podcast, my name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And today, I feel like we have a really fun topic. I want you guys to stay tuned all the way through. Not only are we going to kind of discuss some of the big things from our series that we've been, the sermon series that we're in, which has been so good.
Four parts so far.
I hope that it's not offensive that oftentimes in these sermons, I get these like one or two little nuggets that I really hold on to that really stand out. So
why
I might not remember all the points. I don't know. Because sometimes like, hey, sometimes I don't remember my own messages that I preach.
Sometimes I don't either.
But I'll remember the, so someone will come up to me and say, hey, this is good that you said, you know, try to be encouraging.
That's why I tell stories.
Yeah.
Is because more people remember the story.
They'll connect it to the story.
Than they do the scripture and the point.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things that people are like, man, when you said this or whatever. Right. But for the most part, people connect to things that emotionally move them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will remember, man, you were on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But asking about the message, they don't remember.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you tell a story and they relate to it, they will come. And, you know, I actually have in my office a shadow box that someone gave me. And in it was a belt and a fork and a spoon, like old French antique fork and spoon. And they left a note and it said, Pastor Dan, thank you for always delivering the word of God to us and for making it relatable through stories. Now you'll always have a belt because I told a story about stealing my former youth pastor's belt that I worked for.
Yes.
So you remember it, right?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah. And how he became a missionary. He went to South Africa.
Yes, and you
shout out
the...
to Kevin and Tanya Stanfield in South Africa. We love you guys. And yeah, they were there. And so I was trying to get his belt back to him and he said, just send me $80. That'd be how much the belt is worth and then the shipping and all that kind of, that would be what, because you're not going to get a belt to me here, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just donated $80 to his missions. But then the fork and the spoon was about the lady that was a church lady and she would always go around at the potlucks and say, keep your fork because the best is yet to come. And she wanted to be buried in her casket with a fork because the best is yet to come.
That's so good. Well, going back to that standout point to this last week's message, and I think it'll get some good topics of conversation here. But you had said something talking about, again, this overall, is, should we sin? Of course not.
No.
And we're learning we're dead to sin. We're a new man.
Right.
One of the points, we're free indeed. But you had talked about, and you said something, you said that death takes a long time. And you were talking, it was on the back end of explaining the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And I love how you had set it up, how, man, these Romans were expert assassins or torture bearers, right? I mean, they were experts at what they were trying to do at prolonging the pain as long as possible.
Yeah.
And so when you think about Jesus on the cross, now we know that he gave up his spirit and he was already dead.
Right.
But then they're going to break the legs of these people. And as you explained, and I hadn't learned about this in The Case for Christ.
Okay.
That's a great book. And you get that visual.
Is that Lee Strobel?
Lee Strobel.
Yeah. Shout out to Lee Strobel.
Come on now. We're delving out.
Hey, it's shout outs. I got more. They're just spinning in my head now.
Oh, beautiful imagery of, because that was his thing. Like, I wanted to learn about the crucifixion, if this thing is real.
Yeah.
And then as he studied the science and proven facts about what crucifixion was, oh man, Jesus, this is a real deal. Jesus is real. And so just hearing that death takes a long time, but hearing it on the back of, hey, we're dying. And so as we die to our sin, sometimes it was an injection of faith or of grace for me.
That's good.
Because it was like, whoa, I have grace to understand that death is a process. And as I'm dying to things, I don't have to beat myself up if overnight. You know, I know you kind of talked about some of your testimony was, hey, I immediately stopped cussing. Yeah. Right. And some people have those stories of
delivered.
I immediately stopped smoking. Your dad, right? I immediately stopped smoking. Well, that was because
my dad stopped smoking because they raised the price of cigarettes in 2000. Yeah. He was just too stubborn. He was just too. No, it wasn't grace. It was stubbornness.
That's funny. That is funny.
He cold turkey. Yeah. But no, yes.
There are no testimonies of that.
For me, it was that my mouth was cleaned up. Other people, I'll tell you, I've had people tell me that they were drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got saved, they never went back to it again. They were sobered up immediately. People have come in high to our church services. Yeah. And when they got saved, they got sobered and they never went back to drugs.
Wow.
Now, hard drugs, but smoking cigarettes, they're like, why can't I kick this, you know, or drinking alcohol, or, you know, cussing or, you know, different things for them. And that was the same way for me. You know, here I was, my mouth was clean, but then as a teen and as a young man, you know, struggling with things like pornography and pride and, you know, all these things that, that young men deal with, you know? And so it's like, I had to go through those processes with the Lord to take captive those thoughts. And yeah, you know, it's funny in that season when I got saved, I was 15 years old. And there was a band called The Cry, okay, K-R-Y, shout out to The Cry, right? But great guys. I mean, I went and saw them at Spirit West Coast, which back in the day, you know, that was like the music the fest, Christian music festival. And so I got to see them play and that sort of thing. They had a song, and they said, it takes time to die on the cross. And it just really touched me because it helped me to understand that, like, you know what? I can give myself grace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can forgive myself too and not be so hard on myself because it's going to take time for this old man to be done away with.
Yeah.
I'm still going to struggle.
Yeah.
You know, and until we go to be with Jesus, we're all going to stumble in many things, you know? If you talk to the aged, you'll find that they're saying, hey, God is dealing with me on these things, you know? I love talking to Pastor Deborah because she's such a deep well that, you know, she'll bring up stuff that she's like, man, God was just working with me on this, you know, and gosh, you know, and it's like, I can tell she's wrestling with the flesh and it gives me hope because it's you know, sometimes people hear that stuff and they go, oh, well, I'm always going to be dealing with it. Yeah. In the flesh, you always will be. But the good news is that God is there with us in it.
Yes.
And I think that's the neat thing about it is that Christ was crucified. Mm-hmm. We're crucified with him.
Yeah.
So he's with us in the struggle.
Yeah.
And that's where if God's giving us grace, forgiveness and love and empowerment to overcome, then we should give ourselves that same grace and room and space. And that's really when I say grace, obviously it's not in the same terms that we could give ourselves the grace that God gives.
No, right. I get what you're
saying. Grace in the sense of, hey, look, don't be so hard on yourself. Forgive yourself and move forward in life with that.
Well, because, you know, God is so long-suffering, and we see that in Scripture, that he is a long-suffering God. He was long-suffering with the children of Israel. He's long-suffering with his disciples, and he's long-suffering with us. And, you know, we can look around the room, because sometimes it can be easier to see the sins that people struggle with because they're on the outside.
Yeah.
Right? Acts that they do, whereas some of our sins that we need to die to are the things that we deal with on the inside.
Yeah.
Whether it's our thoughts, whether it's our pride, our arrogance, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so I think there can be that element where we just need to realize that, oh man, we're in the process of dying. And the Holy Spirit is dealing with us to give up some things, but we're still holding on to them. Hey, I'm saved. I'm in church every time the door's open. But the Lord is dealing with us and the people around us. And it's good to know that our neighbors are not Jesus, the person next sitting on the right or the left of us at church. But God is long-suffering with us all, and there's grace. And so that was just a really powerful moment. But it really just solidifies in this message, Pastor, that, you know, we are not called to sin.
No.
And in fact, we are given, and then the last point that you made in the message, I think it was the last point, is that we are free indeed.
Yeah, we're free.
And so what does that freedom look like? But that kind of takes us to the next point of where I was thinking in our preparation for today was just now that we're free, there's still that thing called our thought life.
Mm.
And so I often am the question asker, but I kind of wanted to know, what does Pastor Dan ask himself? What are the questions in your thought life? What are scenarios? Because all of us listeners make decisions.
Sure.
We make decisions every day about what we're going to do, what we're going to wear, what job we're going to go to, what school we're going to go to, who we want to marry, things like that. There's bigger decisions. There's less big decisions. Where to go to lunch. Although sometimes going to where to go to lunch is, that's a big one.
Yeah, you choose.
Yes.
You choose.
So, but what does that thought process look like for you? And then, so what are the questions you ask yourself, and where do you get the answers from?
Man, you know, that's a profound thought because, in our freedom, we do have, you know, a wide range that God gives us. You know, I almost think about, you know, like the cattle on the, you know, 40 acres or whatever, and there's these fences, and that's for their protection. And within those fences, they can roam. They're safe. They're not going to get taken out by a wild animal. You know, there's food that's within that. There's other animals that they're with, right? There's things that take place there in that. And I think that sometimes when people realize God's given us a space of grace, you know, not taking off the limits, but putting us within boundaries that are safe for us to operate within. And as long as you operate within those boundaries, you're going to be safe. And that's where our freedom that we were talking about in the message really becomes something that we now have a part to play in. And not to say, like, you know, that God doesn't have a plan for our lives and those sorts of things. God absolutely does. God has gifts, callings, anointings, all those things, and plans. You know, the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And I love that, because that shows me that God has designed my life. And if Christ is living his life through me, right, I've been crucified with Christ, and all right, I live with Christ lives within me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. So if that's the case, if Jesus is living his life through me, then obviously Jesus was always doing his Father's will.
Yeah.
He was on a mission and a plan, and there's a mission individually for our lives. So what is that mission for me? And that's where I think you're talking about these questions come up. Okay, yeah. So what does God want for me individually? I can go to the Bible all day long and find out it's the will of God for me to be thankful. It's the will of God for me to be holy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's yeah. a lot of them. The will of God for me to be generous and all those things. Right. Okay, so then, all right, where does God want me to invest? Where does God want me to live? Mm-hmm. Where does God want me to go to church? Or who does God want me to befriend? Who does God want me to marry?
Yeah.
Does God want me to go to school? Or does he want me to go to a career? Does he want me to go into the ministry? Mm-hmm. Is my ministry marketplace? Or is, you know, my ministry in church or outside of the church? And I know God has a ministry and wants me to serve, but where does God want me to serve? I mean, these are big questions.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think the analyzers and the overthinkers can get hung up on these things.
Yeah.
You know, they call it the paralysis of analysis,
yeah.
where you just, you're thinking too much. And for me, you know, you asked me the personal question, where do the questions come from me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know my calling. I can tell you, I've always had it in my heart to serve the Lord from a young age. You know, when I was 15, I got lit up by God. I was immediately evangelizing my school, trying to build the youth group. I got invited early on to minister, mm-hmm. and to speak.
Yeah.
And my first message I ever gave, everyone liked it so much that they invited me back the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And that second message was so bad, they never invited me to speak again. So, you know, I had to learn, you know.
Yeah.
But I had those things in me at a young age. And so that's where, you know, I was in music and I liked music. And so I thought, well, I'll do music ministry. Yeah. And then I thought, well, maybe in the future I'll use that platform to do, mm-hmm. you know, pastoring or something like that. Right. I had my thoughts. And then especially coming to The Rock, you know, here's Pastor Jim, was a baseball player. He had his platform and, you know, that sort of thing. And now he's a minister. I thought, okay, well, music will be that for me, you know. But God had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
I got with Pastor Jessica, and we went to Bible college, came back, started the young adults ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember there was a significant moment. I went to a conference, and I could show you the seat in the stadium we were in, and the minister had just talked about pastoring the few. And he talked about really the pastor's heart and how it wasn't about the masses and the multitudes, that God flips that upside down. And where we would have a pyramid where the one lonely guy's up at the top and everybody's underneath him, he says, no, as a pastor, you're a servant. Mm-hmm. And you pastor the few, and then they touch others, right? And I've modeled that in my ministry and in my life ever since then. But I remember afterwards, the whole place cleared out. Everybody was, I don't know if they were going to lunch or what. Mm-hmm. But I lingered in the stadium, and I sat there for a minute. And I remember I just had a moment with God all by myself. And God just shared with me and dropped it in me, I've called you to pastor the people of San Bernardino. I've called you to San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. And it was just a moment for me. So I know my calling. So I don't question that. Mm-hmm. I know I'm a pastor. I know I'm not called to be an evangelist and travel or a missionary and, you know, plant churches and be an apostle over them. And I know that I have a teaching gift, you know, but I'm not necessarily, you know, as far as that, every pastor needs to be a teacher,
right.
you know, and so that teaching gift is an anointing that I do have. And so, but as far as like teaching the body of Christ, some revelation, you know, I can teach and I've got things that I will teach, but you know, if you ask me what my life message was, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like just follow Jesus, I guess. I don't know, but I'm a pastor, you know, I'm here for people. And so when you look at those specific giftings and things like that, there's certain things that I know I'll go to, like I can pray for healing. I'm not, you know, necessarily anointed all the time for healing. There's times where the healing anointing will come on, but other times where I'm just praying the prayer of faith like every believer does,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and prophet, you know, I I have prophesied. I believe that when a minister is speaking the word of God, they are prophesying because they're speaking forth the will and the counsel of God for edification and building up the saints and that sort of a thing, and for comfort and for peace. So I know I prophesy. I'm not a prophet, though, in the sense of like, thus saith the Lord, and yeah, the office and that sort of a thing. So, you know, that takes a lot of the questions out. When you know certain things, you don't have to wonder about other things.
That's good.
But for me, I think where the questions come from me, I know I've circled this.
No, I think that's the there's some process of elimination for you.
Sure,
though, right?
Yeah. And I guess that's, you know, part of the makeup of who I am, you know, is that I can easily eliminate certain factors.
Well, so let's take an example there, if you don't mind pausing right there, and let's pick up there. But to some of these big questions, well, who do I marry? Well, I know who God doesn't want me to marry.
Someone
who's not
you're
a believer. So we can kind of do the elimination thing. And then so, you know, then that kind of leaves some more room and we can kind of land on some of those things.
Yeah. But. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely, you know, if you know that it's not God's will for people to get drunk, are you going to go work at a bar as a bartender? You know, those are exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Nailed it on the head, you know. So and again, those things are explicit in the word of God that if I know these things for my life, then I know these things are not for my life.
Right, that's good.
Yeah, you can cut out a lot of those decisions. For me, again, personally, where I have the questions is in competency, especially when it comes to things like business and leadership, that sort of a thing. I know that God has given me favor.
Yeah.
But as far as my own skill and my own ability and that sort of a thing, and even my knowledge level, and this is crazy. I've been studying the Word of God for 30 years as a Christian. I was 15. I'm 45, going to be 46 November 2nd. Shout out to my birthday. But
save the date.
I will take cash. No, I'm kidding.
Cash app.
Cash app. Apple. Yeah, Zelle. No. Who cares? Don't bring someone to church if you want to give me something.
Let's put
my
on
birthday.
The QR code on the video. Yeah, right. Kidding. I'm kidding.
Bring someone to church if you want to give me a present, all right? Yeah. And introduce me to them. That's the best gift I could ever have. But really, you know, like competency. When I think about my level of ability, you know, I was talking to some business leaders here in the church. I think you were in the meeting, maybe, because you've worked with our business leaders.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Pastor Dan, maybe you could speak to the business leaders.
Oh, right.
And for me, I'm like, I'm not a businessman. I've never started a business. Yeah. I haven't done any of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, what am I going to say to you guys, you know? And they're like, are you kidding me? You lead a church with over 170 employees and you can't talk to us about business when we've only got 30 employees or, you know, five employees or what. And they're like, we want to hear from you. How do you lead? How do you handle those staff issues? Mm-hmm. How, you know, you've got something to say. And yet in my heart, it's always like, am I good enough?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do I have the wisdom I need to make these decisions?
Right.
When it comes to spending money?
Yeah.
You know, I came from a blue-collar family that really, you know, we had our house. My dad was, I'm going to buy this house, I'm going to pay this house off, and then I'm going to die in this house, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to be morbid, but he did,
right.
You know? And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he had a retirement and set my mom up well, and she's doing good and that sort of a thing. And so I know financial responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm not a fool when it comes to my money.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to risk,
when
it comes to spending, when it comes to going for it or you know, even planting, you know, I've had to learn generosity.
Mm.
I've had to learn how to invest and to sow, you know? And then when it comes to big things, you know, I mean, it was so calculated in my home growing up, and even with my own money.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I remember saving up and buying the toy that I wanted, you know, if it was a big deal. And so it was like you had to save your money. You had to be frugal and you had to be wise. Nothing wrong with that until you start to get a family and then something breaks.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing. And then let's elevate that to the church level. Hey, pastor, this thing broke in our video department and it cost $50,000, you know. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. It seems like there's no bill in certain departments under $10,000, you know? and initially, especially because it's coming up on a decade that I've been the senior pastor here. Initially, a lot of those decisions when they were coming to me, I was like, just hold up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one instance in particular at the food distribution center, we have carts that we help take people to and from their cars with their food and that sort of a thing. Well, the one cart broke and then the other cart needed batteries and it was going to be, you know, I think for batteries, $1,200, you know, which, you know, okay, if you want to use the cart, you got to spend it. And then the other cart was broken, and I don't remember how much that one cost. And then with one of our carts was out of commission, we had to just get rid of it. And so I remember Pastor Jim going down to the FTC, and he saw these elderly people walking slowly and struggling to get their things to their cars, you know. Yeah. And he's like, "Where's our carts?" And they're like, "Oh, Pastor Dan denied us fixing it, you know." And it was like, because money was tight and that sort of thing. Yeah. So I said, "Hey, not right now." It wasn't a denial.
Yeah.
But I mean, to them, it was, "We can't fix them because we don't have any money." And he's, "Oh, baloney. I want those fixed today," you know. And it was like, I get my phone starts blowing up. I'm on my way to church, and it starts blowing up. "Hey, Pastor Jim is on a rampage," is what they're saying, you know. Now, for me, rightfully so, right? Yeah. Get this stuff fixed. Fix it. Right. You know, spend the money. $1,200 is not a lot of money.
Well, now you see that now.
Now I do. Right. Then it was like, no, because I wasn't used to the big picture.
Yeah.
I wasn't used to every bill.
Right.
Right? When your electric bill is $20,000.
Yeah. Well, I know. I put some things off. There are certain things like,
yeah,
oh, I don't want to wrestle that right now.
And in your home budget, you can do that on a more controlled scale.
Yeah.
When it comes to facility, and when it comes to, you know, your infrastructure and that sort of a thing in a business, and especially in what it takes to do ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You want to love and serve people well. So, hey, this is what it costs.
And if we're pleasing to God, if we can believe God, then, hey, guess what? He will bring the finances for that.
Yeah.
And so we just got to trust and believe, and then steward wisely. And that's where, hey, okay, so we don't need another LED screen, or we don't need that right now. We can put that off, right? Yeah. That's a big expense we're not going to do. But fix the cart, you know, get the batteries. Yeah. Do what you need to do. Or purchase another cart, you know, for $10,000 or whatever it is, you know. We're not talking in the hundreds of thousands or in the millions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my leadership at that time, that was a big deal. And so I came down, calmed everyone down, pulled Pastor Jim aside. I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He shared with me what was happening. "And this is ridiculous, and that needs to get done today." I said, "That's great. Thank you. It's the right decision." I said, would you in the future just let me make the decision? Can I be the one to go in? Because it's right. Yeah. I need that encouragement. I need to hear that, because Pastor Jim, you've been pastoring for 30 years at that point, or whatever it was, 35. You've got that under your belt. You know that's nothing, and let's believe God and do it.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Yeah.
My question mark is it okay to spend $1,200? Yeah. You know, right. Is it okay to fix a cart? Like, do we need to put that off? And my decision was put it off. Mm-hmm. Obviously I was wrong, because we're displeasing to God if we're allowing elderly people to walk all that distance, pulling their little cart with the food and then struggling to get to their cars. You know, we're not doing a good service to people, and God won't be pleased with that. Mm-hmm. Right decision, let me make it. So he started to coach me from the sidelines and that sort of a thing. And as I got involved in that, I would take the big expenses. Hey, what do you think about this chiller that broke down? You know, or we got to replace the burners on it, or, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
This is going to be $10,000. This is going to be $50,000. This is going to be $450,000, and we're going to have to finance, you know, and that sort of a thing. Are we wanting to put ourselves in that sort of a position for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. And so as time went on, the $1,200 became nothing.
Yeah.
Then time goes on further, the 10,000 becomes nothing, because I've seen numbers bigger than that now, right?
Right.
And I've grown in my ability. But to this day, I still struggle with, okay, things like, you know, should we make a big push to finish paying off the church, or should we just let that go and just move on, because in 7 years it's going to be paid off no matter what, and we just keep paying our payment. You know what I mean? Those are the questions that I wrestle with now.
Right.
It's like, and even, you know, some of the big things with the church, some of the, you know, we're spending money on billboards. Is that the best investment? I get a lot of response from it, but we could do social media. We could do TV on a greater scale. We could build things if we had that money. But then our name's not getting out there. You know what I mean? And there's things that I wrestle with that, like, in many ways, I think that's not normal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as well, okay, God, with our emphasis, you know, every year we have a theme, and we gain a verse, and God speaks to us and that sort of a thing. But there's always that insecurity of, like, God, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really telling me about this? Or is this just me drumming this up, you know, because we need it for the year or whatever it is? And that's why I love being in community with others, because, you know, my wife, obviously, this year we sat and prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
This year we talked about the vision together for 2026.
Yeah.
We've been, you know, looking at the scriptures and letting it marinate and letting it, you know, soak into us and really become a part of us. And then in the community of our pastoral staff, mm-hmm. you know, we release that to them and talk to them about it. Tell us what you think. Tell us what God's speaking to you, because that helps us to answer those questions and helps us to know that we're on the right track, you know? And I think with our listeners and viewers, as you guys are thinking about your life and those questions that you have, it's good to have community, because you can go talk to someone and say, hey, I'm thinking about this person to marry. What do you think? And they might say, hey, you're on the right track. They're a great believer. They're generous. They're kind. They're the type of person that they would make you bet you're better around them, you know?
Yeah.
And that might be something that in your life, same thing with investments, things. I find somebody who understands finances, who is spending a lot of money, and those big purchases aren't a big thing to them. You know, help me to do my budget. Help me to see, am I crazy wanting to buy this? And is this wise? Is this investment wise? Should I buy a house or a car? And what do you think? And get that feedback. Because in community, man, there's such safety. Again, the boundary lines.
Yeah.
Someone might come to you and say, hey, that person that you're thinking about befriending or marrying, look at their life, you know, they're a mess. Yeah. Is that what you want? You know, and it helps you to go, okay, thank you. You know, I had my love goggles on, you know, and that's great, but it's not going to help me in my future, you know? And same thing with investments, same things with raising kids, same things with your time management. I mean, there's so much.
I heard someone say, talking about community, think about who you would call if that scenario went bad. Mm. You think about getting a job.
Yeah.
So imagine the job is going bad. Who would you call for advice? Ask them about the job in the front part.
Mm, that's good.
That's good, right?
I like
that. I was like, so good, because like if you're going to go to them when if it's challenging or upset for their counsel, let's get their counsel on the front end.
Yeah, because that could say, and that's what the Bible calls prudence.
Right.
It's looking ahead and taking cover.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So it helps you, and that partners with wisdom.
Yep. Absolutely. And so, you know, you gave a lot of great examples. I want to break down some of your responses, because we are not, no one is the senior pastor of the Rock Church. We're not resending. Maybe there's pastors listening. Maybe there's other people who lead organizations or businesses. But breaking down some of your decision process, there's the spiritual aspect to it all, right?
Prayer.
We all make decisions with a spiritual aspect, but then there's also a very practical application to what it is we're doing. And so you gave the breakdown of, you know, hearing from God to know if we're on the right path. But then there's going to be a lot of ambiguous things that are not in scripture.
Yeah.
What car to buy. But then you broke down the questions of our prudence and being good stewards of the thing. So if it's a purchase, well, what can I afford? What's my budget tell me? What are some of the things here? If it's relationally. So there are decisions that we make every day that are, some are cut and clear right from the Word of God. And some of those in between ones, you're giving us the practical way. And then we get more confident in our decision making,
right?
Based on over time, over experience, over mistakes, over mess ups. Right. And so
I'm glad you point that out, because, you know, ultimately there's going to be people that are going to come to a crossroads, and they're going to say, okay, I got a fork in the road. Which way do I go? They've prayed, they've weighed all the options. And there's going to be two great choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be so evident.
Yeah.
And should I go this way? Should I go that way? Again, the freedom that we have.
Yeah.
That God will back us. And sometimes it comes down to, well, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the blue car or the red car? Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like sometimes it's not so like, oh my gosh, should I buy this one or that?
I had a dream of a red car.
Right. Yeah. You know, it may not be that deep. It might just be, well, what do you like? You know, it might come down to that. The other factor that I think is vitally important for us is faith.
Mm-hmm.
That when you don't know what to do, that you take a step.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's the wrong choice, you believe that God will cover you in that.
Well, I think a lot of us can get paralyzed in that choice.
Yeah.
And so saying that is empowering, Pastor Dan. Just take a step. And I don't strike you as one who lives in regret. You make a decision and you kind of, maybe you're like, was that, but you kind of stand by it. How'd you grow in that?
Well, you know, my regrets involve sin oftentimes, you know, and blatant disregard for things. So, I mean, as far as if I've made a choice that it hasn't panned out, I'm the type of guy that I just, you know, things don't get to me. Things don't bug me. And I know there's other people that are more passionate. They feel deeper than I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder about myself. Am I stoic? Like, what's, do I feel? You know, if you cut me, do I bleed? But, I mean, yes. You know what I mean? And there's certain things that absolutely You know, it, but I've purposed in my life not to live with regret, mm-hmm. not, and I'm so grateful again for my wife. Cause again, in community, there may be people that push you into the right things. You know, she pushed me to be home more. Mm-hmm. She pushed me to be around my kids more. Yeah. She pushed me to engage with them and to have conversations and to do things, you know, and when it came to decisions and things like that, and should we spend the money or should we not? She pushed me to spend the money.
Yeah.
Hey, we can get more money.
Yeah.
Let's believe God. Let's trust. Not that we were ever foolish. Not that we ever extended ourselves beyond our means. But that, like, hey, when we get old and gray, are we going to regret spending time with our kids in environments that we chose and that, that we decided to spend some more money on? Or are we going to regret not doing that with them? You know what I mean? And internally, I think I had a, like that checklist of things with my family and that sort of a thing. And so I remember going to the Grand Canyon. I may have spoke about this before, but it was almost like at the Grand Canyon, I had that little checkbox. Mm-hmm. That like just marked, I've taken my kids to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't regret the time and the money and the investment that we put into that trip. Mm-hmm. Because I recognized and realized, man, this is something significant that I wanted to do for my kids. And that I remember, you know, from a young age, hearing my dad talk about the Grand Canyon and how it moved him to tears and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to have that moment with my kids watching. And sure enough, they were like, wow, their eyes lit up, that sort of a thing. I'll never regret that. But if I sat there and worried about finances and worried about time and worried about, you know, vacation days and, you know, those things are so inconsequential. Yeah. That's what helps me is when I take a look at the outcomes, you know. And again, even if it's the wrong decision, there's been stuff. I bought cars. I've bought, you know, clothes even that was an impulse or that was, you know, and it turned out to be that wasn't a good purchase or, you know, made decisions on places to stay or, you know, things like that that we didn't like the hotel or whatever. Yeah. And we just made a new choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we just moved on.
Yeah.
If you wallow in the past, you're going to get stuck.
Yeah.
Move on. You know, again, there's so much freedom. Mm-hmm. There's so much room for us to roam around in that. Why would we stay in the little mud puddle that we accidentally stepped in within the boundary lines? You know, like let's move on to the green grass over here. Let's go over to the pool and, you know, take a drink. Let's move into the grace and the excitement of what God wants to do in our lives, you know, and relationally. Some people are great relationships. Some people are not. Some people are there for a season. You know, one of our pastors that was working on staff for a long time, she said, well, some people are there for a season. Some people are there for a reason. Some people are there temporarily. Some people are there eternally. You know what I mean? There's going to be times and seasons in our lives. And within those times and seasons, we're going to make decisions with different sets of, you know, standards and understandings and you know, contexts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and not to say that the standards change. The standard is always the word of God, but there might be for a young adult with no spouse and no kids, there's a different standard of like, hey, man, I'm free to go, right? But then when you get married, I'm not free to go. I got to talk to my spouse.
Yeah.
When you have children, I'm not free to go because I got to make sure that these kids are taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
And that helped me. Too, is that I realize that there may be things that I say no to now. You know, there's a lot of trips that I haven't taken. There's a lot of stuff that I haven't done simply because I need to be there for my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been invited to preach all over the world, missionaries in Africa, in Asia, the Middle East, I mean, Europe, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I've gone to one overseas trip in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's it. Why? Because it's, you know, important that I'm there with my family.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so that's how I stay from, you know, I could have, did I make the right decision about not going? Right. It's the word of God and this and that. But then I look at my family and go, no, I made the right decision.
That's good.
I got good kids.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on pulling triggers, on the hangups, on overcoming those things, getting just,
man,
you know,
reading my mail. Yeah. I'm a person that has a hard time pulling the trigger, but you know, I would encourage our viewers and listeners, if you're not a trigger puller, if it's within the boundaries of God's grace and goodness, and you're the type of person that you're saying, okay, you know, it's not sinful. I can make these decisions. I've got great options here. Pull the trigger. See what happens. You might be delighted and surprised at how well your decision turns out. And there are some decisions like, that, you know, when you're trying to make a decision which ministry to get involved in, right? don't wait. Just start somewhere and God will sort that out. That's the neat thing about God is that he's in this with you. You may find that you were, you know, why didn't I start this sooner? You know, if you're deciding whether or not to write the book. What do you got to lose? You know, if you're deciding whether or not to go after, pursue that relationship, what do you got to lose? Go after, call them, reach out. You know what I mean? Go hang out, offer to, you know, put together something, you know, what do you got to lose? You know, I want to make friends. Should I get with these people? Should I get with those people? Hey, you know what? Invite them over and sort it out, you know? And again, if you know that they're bad people, don't go there. Or if you have somebody that has insight, hey, who do you think I should try and connect with? Oh, these people are good people, you know? But man, go for it.
Yeah.
Pull the trigger and let life happen.
Amen.
Because God will guide you in those decisions as you, again, your steps are ordered. Sometimes you don't see the summit. Sometimes you just see the path in front of you.
Mm-hmm. You summit a mountain one step at a time. There you go.
The journey of 1,000 steps starts with one.
On that note, guys, we love you guys. God bless you. Share, like, subscribe, comment. We'd love to hear feedback from you guys. Talk to you guys soon. Love you.